it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, they got him. That's the good news. They got the animal who assassinated Charlie Kirk, and they're going to go after him for the death penalty in Utah, and the feds are also involved as well. So that's good news to end the week on what has been a depressing, one of the worst weeks I've ever been on the radio. That's for sure. At least ending on a positive that they got the guy. Because I would have hated to have to go into the weekend and wonder if they were going to catch this sicko. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here today. President Trump is going to be attending Charlie Kirk's funeral. His casket brought back with Vice President J.D. Vance aboard Air Force Two. I also want to mention on a very positive note today, I got my copy of Cry Havoc, which is Jack Carr's latest book. I just got it a few moments before I went on the air today. Package from Simon & Schuster arrived at my doorstep, and that's fantastic. And I'm going to start reading it tonight because God knows I need to read something that's not so heavy in the news. Jack is going to be in person with me October 13th. And we'll have a great conversation and a great night. Jack was friends with Charlie. He put out a really nice tribute to him. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. We'll talk about it's funny because I was actually rereading Red Sky Morning. And he has a whole thing in there about when they changed the name of the Department of War to the Department of Defense and how it really ratcheted up to become the Department of War. So I'm going to talk to him about the renaming of the department, among other topics of the day, for sure. But here's the thing. Number one international best-selling author, he's got fans all over the place. So when he comes to Philly, just like when he comes anywhere, all the Jack Carr fans are going to want to come see him and get their hands on this book signed by Jack Carr as well, which means you should go to 1210WPHE.com right now and get your tickets before they do. Because I don't know, Jack, it's the same event that – you know what I mean? So it's going to be on Jack Carr's website, but it's going to be open to anybody. It's not like you have to pass a test to prove you're a Zeoli Show listener or a 1210 listener. You just have to come to the event. So do that now. It's 1210WPHC.com. It's our Politics and Pints. It's October 13th. Cry Havoc is the book. Jack Carr is the man. And I'll be on stage with him. And one of the things about those events is Jack loves to take questions. So he'll take a lot of questions that night. So think in advance about some of the questions you want to ask him. You could ask him about his writing process, his thoughts on whatever is going on. You could ask him about the Constitution. You could ask him about the military-industrial complex. You could ask him about anything. Doesn't matter. You could ask him about his workout regimen. Whatever you want to do. Last time I busted his chops because he put on a few pounds. And, Still sent me a bottle of his whiskey, which was nice of him. So I'm going to probably drink that entire bottle tonight. It's been that kind of a week. Anyway, but like I said, we're ending it on a good positive note because we got the guy who assassinated Charlie Kirk. And I want to begin there with the Utah Governor Spencer Cox making that announcement. This is part one of cut one, and we'll start with that good news today. Take a listen.
We got him. On the evening of September 11th, a family member of Tyler Robinson reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Robinson had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident. This information was relayed to the Utah County Sheriff's Office and scene investigators at Utah Valley University. This information was also conveyed to the FBI. Investigators reviewed additional video footage from UVU surveillance and identified Robinson arriving on UVU campus in a gray Dodge Challenger at approximately 8:29 a.m. on September 10th, in which he is observed on video in a plain maroon t-shirt, light-colored shorts, a black hat with a white logo, and light-colored shoes. When encountered in person by investigators in Washington County on September 12th, in the early morning hours, Robinson was observed in consistent clothing with those surveillance images. Investigators interviewed a family member of Robinson who stated that Robinson had become more political in recent years. The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. The family member also confirmed Robinson had a gray Dodge Challenger. Investigators identified an individual as the roommate of Robinson. Investigators interviewed that roommate, who stated that his roommate, referring to Robinson, made a joke on Discord. Investigators asked if he would show them the messages on Discord. He opened it and showed several messages to investigators and allowed investigators to take photos of the screen as each message was shown by Robinson's roommate. These photos consisted of various messages, including content of messages between the phone contact named Tyler with an emoji icon and Robinson's roommate's device. The content of these messages included messages affiliated with the contact Tyler, stating a need to retrieve a rifle from a drop point, leaving the rifle in a bush, messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel. The messages also refer to engraving bullets and a mention of a scope and the rifle being unique. Messages from the contact Tyler also mentioned that he had changed outfits.
Is that it, Justin? Okay, thank you. And then let's go into cut number two. This is the governor saying a bullet casing with "catch this fascist" was engraved on it. And if you remember, we had talked about the engravings and what would be engraved on the gun or what would be engraved on the bullets. And that is actually what was real. That was not something that was made up. That was real. Cut number two.
I know there has been speculation as well as to the writing on those casings, those bullet casings, and I believe we have that as well. And I will share that with you now. So the area north of Campus Drive Road where the suspect crossed over, you saw some of that in the video that we released last night, consists of a grassy area with trees on the edge of the UVU campus. Investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a dark-colored towel. The rifle was determined to be a Mauser Model 98 30-06 caliber, 30-06 caliber bolt-action rifle. The rifle had a scope mounted on top of it. Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices, bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this?" question mark. Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey, fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point. Up arrow symbol, right arrow and symbol, and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, "O Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." And a third unfired casing read, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO."
You are gay, LMAO. Okay. So at least we know that the story that there were engravings and all these other things, that panned out to be correct. Now, the president said today in Fox and Friends he hopes the guy gets the death penalty. I think that it's Utah. I think he probably will. In addition to that, the feds are also looking into charges for this because it was political violence And that rises to the level of terrorism. Look, you know, murder is a state charge, but it all comes down to the state of mind, the mens rea. Clearly, this guy, and, you know, innocent until proven guilty, so he'll have his day in court. But based on the evidence, it certainly appears as if this was a targeted political assassination. In that case, then, it can be a federal crime because now you're not just dealing with a simple murder. I'm not saying murder's simple, but you know what I mean. This isn't just somebody who shoots somebody. This is somebody who targets somebody because of their political views and also creates terror in the process. And that's part of the goal. Part of the goal in something like this is to terrorize people like me, who speak for a living. Now, it's not going to work. But to terrorize Charlie's supporters, to terrorize his colleagues, to terrorize his friends, to terrorize those who share his views. That is part of the idea. That is part of the goal of somebody like this. If the feds can make that argument in court, then you've got a federal charge. You've got several federal charges. Again, I'm not an attorney, but that would be the crux of it. You know, there's a difference if this guy shot Charlie Kirk in a robbery gone bad in a 7-Eleven and had no idea who Charlie Kirk was, versus targeting him because of his views and wanting to send a message to conservatives and Christians or whoever else, hey, this is what's coming to you. Two different circumstances, two different scenarios. One clearly does not rise to the federal level, and then the other one clearly does. It may not be necessary, though, to charge him on the federal level because you're dealing with a red state like Utah, a state that has no doubt. It's a state that takes this kind of crime very seriously. I was listening to Professor John Yoo, our buddy, who was saying that earlier on Fox News, and he was saying you may not even need to have federal charges on this. But my sense of it is that the federal charges will be done to prove a point. Point being that if you commit an act of political terrorism, then yes, the United States of America is going to come after you also. In addition to whatever state crime you violated, the feds are also going to come after you as well. That does not violate the double jeopardy clause of the Constitution, as the courts have ruled that you can charge people similar charges, same crime, different charges if there are state and federal crimes as well. And that's what Cash Patel is looking into. Not like everything else, you got to be able to prove this in court. You got to be able to make a case to a jury, and you got to be able to get a conviction. Or get the guy to plead guilty. I don't think this is going to be a tough sell, though, based on everything we know so far. Guy admitted he did it. His father told him to turn himself in. He refused, got a local pastor involved. And then the local pastor convinced him to turn himself in, and he did. But this was premeditated, obviously. This was filled with hate, because to take the time to engrave those bullets, to take the time to write those messages on them, to take the time to do all those things is a premeditated, hate-filled act of political terrorism. And there's no other way to spin that. There's just no other way to spin that. This is not a crazy guy killing somebody on the train. That one is tougher to make a federal charge stick. Like I said to you the other day when they had that press conference. That's tougher to make a federal charge stick. This is not. Because if you commit a crime with the idea of committing political terrorism, your goal then is to spread fear, spread terror to people that share like-minded views and create terror throughout society, create terror throughout the country. That's a clear, again, not an attorney, but as far as I can tell, from my understanding of the law, that's about as clear-cut a terrorism as you can get. That's terrorism. It's political terrorism. It's not road rage. It's not domestic abuse. It's not murder because you're the son of Sam and you think a freaking dog told you to do it. It's you're doing this because you are trying to scare people who have a certain mindset and a certain belief. This is President Trump this morning on Fox and Friends. He was in studio in person. Cut number three.
I hope he's going to be found guilty, I would imagine. And I hope he gets the death penalty. What he did, Charlie Kirk was the finest person. He didn't deserve this. He worked so hard and so well. Everybody liked him. I've been watching. Even the left is having a hard time. They fired this guy, Dowd, from MSDNC, who's a terrible guy, terrible human being. But they fired him. I hear they're firing other people. And, you know, we're talking about radical left. Now, they're a little bit, but radical left networks and cable channels, horrible channels like MS. I always call it DNC because it's, you know, somehow affiliated with the Democrat National Committee. So, you know, it's a little statement you make. But MSNBC, but NBC, ABC, CBS, they're all terrible, absolutely terrible and unfair. But even they have been giving it sort of like this can't be allowed to happen.
It can't be allowed to happen. No doubt. It's the kind of thing where, look, I this has been a tough week, and I've been talking to my friends in this business all week about this. I've been talking to my friends at Fox News all week. Everybody is just in a state of shock and sadness and grief, and it's awful. Hey, fascist, catch. That's what the guy wrote on an unfired bullet. Hey, fascist, catch. You know what I did this week? I took down all the pictures of my kids off social media. You probably enjoyed those Cooking with Reagan videos. I did too. Loved making them. Pirate Treasure with Reagan that we did with me and Claire and Patrick, took them all down. I took them all down. I will not post any more pictures of my family on social media. I took them all down. There's too many nuts out there. Somebody asked me to attend a local political club meeting. I said, no, I'm not going to be involved locally in anything because I don't want crazy people to know where I live, what I do. That's why when people ask me things, I try to be very evasive about it because there's lunatics out there. There's just no other way to say it. You know, and somebody said the other day to me something to the effect of, well, be glad you don't have a national platform. I have a national platform. This show is streamed all across the country. There are people that listen to it all over the country. And I'm on Fox News all the time. I'm probably going to be on there on Tuesday. I'm supposed to be. I don't know. Maybe things will change. I don't know. Everything's up in flux, as you can imagine. I'm not going to stop. I'll never stop. This is what I do. This is my life and my passion. My passion in my life is fighting for the Constitution and liberty. This is what gets me out of bed in the morning. But my point is, you don't have to be a national platform to have some freaking lunatic come after you or your family or have your family swatted or something like that. We've seen that with our friends. We saw that with Sean Farish, our buddy from The Morning Show. This is a crazy time. And again, I'm going to say this, and I know it may sound like a broken record at this point. It's not both sides. And I'm getting really sick and tired of hearing people say this. That it's not both sides. You know what it reminds me of? It's like when people say, well, not all Muslims. It's like, stop with the disclaimer BS. Like, we know that. We know it's not all Muslims when we talk about Islamic terrorism. Like stop. But stop with this both sides crap. It's not both sides. It's the left. The left is spewing in hatred and violence right now. I have said to you, I will not share these TikTokers who are celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. But some of this stuff is so vile, it would make you sick. I'm not going to give it airtime. I'm not going to put it on this show. But I'm going to play elected officials and people in the media who are saying things because that's different. Elected officials and people in the media, that's way different, in my opinion, than some random person you've never heard of on TikTok who's trying to go viral. I'm not going to help them go viral. I'm not going to help them. And what their goal is, which is to get attention and to get clicks. I have no interest in helping them do that. But every single conservative Charlie Kirk was a conservative talk show host. I remember years ago, I think it was back in 2020, 2021, Phil Boyce, he's the head of Talk News Talk over at Salem. I think, I don't know his exact title, but I've known Phil for a long time. He was the program director at WABC, and he runs Salem Radio Network. And I remember when he hired Charlie Kirk to be a talk show host. And he said Charlie Kirk was going to be the next big thing. Well, he wasn't wrong. Phil and I met for lunch one day. We had a great chat, caught up. We were involved in politics in Jersey together separately from this, you know. And he talked about how he hired Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk was a radio host. In addition to going on campus, and in addition to doing his Turning Point USA events, in addition to he was a radio host, a conservative talk show host. He's not on our station and he's not in our market, but he's in a lot of markets around the country. I'm saying, you know, in past tense, obviously, but so it hits home for all of us behind a microphone to think that they took out one of our own. To think that they took out one of our own, somebody who does this for a living. Now, his platform was massive because he wasn't just a radio host. He also ran Turning Point USA, and he also went to these colleges and did all those things versus just doing a radio show and then golfing and drinking and smoking cigars. Not that any of those things are bad, mind you, but he didn't drink. I don't know if he golfed, and I doubt he smoked cigars. Michael Knowles smokes cigars. I should ask Michael if he ever smoked one with Charlie. I don't know. But he would go and do his Turning Point USA. He would do that too. But all week, what I've been thinking is we lost a conservative talk show host who was assassinated for his thoughts and his beliefs and his actions. And we've seen fellow conservative talk show hosts, whether it's Sean Farish or Joe Pags or some of these other people that who have been swatted. This is not coming from both sides. This is coming from one side. The lunatic left in this country, they're deranged. They're deranged. They are filled with hate, and they think that they're justified because they call us all Nazis. There's a clip of Jasmine Crockett. Matt's going to grab it. Just posted a few moments ago where she compares ICE agents to slave patrols. That is the kind of rhetoric I'm talking about. So these ICE agents are out there doing their job. Under the law. The law says you have to go out there and find people who are in this country illegally, and then you have to deport them. They have detainer requests. If they have deportation orders, that's the job of an immigration and customs enforcement official, among their many other jobs they have to do. Jasmine Crockett, a elected member of Congress, is comparing them to slave patrols. You know, the last time we heard the comparison of slave patrols? The police after George Floyd's death. Where they came out and said that the police are no different than slave patrols, people that would go out and capture freed slaves or slaves who escaped. And they would show badges to try to make that analogy and that comparison. Now, that is absolutely woefully historically inaccurate and ridiculous. But they would say it, as irresponsible as it is. They've compared ICE agents to the Gestapo. They've compared the National Guard to the SS. So when they use all this rhetoric and then they take joy in Charlie Kirk's assassination because they say that, well, Charlie Kirk was spreading hate. And what is hate to these people? It's anything they want it to be. This is why I will never in my life support hate speech laws and why I will passionately fight against them. And I always have. Because whatever hate is in the eye of the beholder or whoever makes the law, for example. Here's Jasmine Crockett comparing ICE agents to slave patrols. Take a listen.
We're seeing that they are unleashing this rogue policing force that, you know, if they taught Black history, they would know about slave patrols, because when I look at what they are doing with ICE, it looks like slave patrols. And then you've got a Supreme Court that's like, yeah, you can pick them up because of how they look or how they sound.
That's crazy.
That sounds like a slave patrol. Like, that is what policing was born of. So, yes, we need to teach history.
No,
and
it
yes,
wasn't.
We also need to talk about, like, why it is important for everybody to know the history. Mm-hmm. Because maybe we would have more Latinos that would have voted for the Black woman or voted with the Black folk if they fully understood this history. Because, frankly, they are... the targets and the victims of this, and so many of them.
It is an absolute lie to say that policing began as slave patrols. That is an absolute lie. That is a, there's no other way to put it than that is a lie. And I wish to God Wilfred Riley could join us today, but he's actually hosting his own radio show. Good for him, by the way. Good for him. He's a talented guy. Good for him. But that is a lie. That is not how policing started in this country. That is, and for a member of Congress to say that, and for these, I don't know what show she was on, I don't care, and then, you know, the people, because they have no idea what the history of this country is. They have no idea. But you just, you say this stuff. Now you've just said that every single, think about this now, every single person who wears a badge in this country, including all the cops who died on 9/11, including all the cops who are dying right now because of 9/11, like my dad, for example, with all their 9/11 related illnesses, you know what they are? They're just heirs to the slave catchers. That's all they are. They're just the heirs to the slave catchers. Every cop, every guy who wears a badge, every girl who wears a badge, every black guy who wears a badge. Yeah, you're just nothing more than the heir to the slave catchers in this country. You believe this crap? From a member of Congress. It's so irresponsible to say these lies. And people hear this crap and they don't know any better. And they go, well, I didn't know that. Do you know that policing started as slave patrols and then it just went from there? She just besmirched every single cop in this country. Every single one of them. But at the heart of it, what she's trying to do, of course, is to, by association then, besmirch Donald Trump and all of his supporters because they're unleashing the modern-day slave patrols and the people who are the heirs to the slave patrols who wear the badges today. It's despicable is what it is. You know what the Republicans should do, honestly? What they should do is they should do an entire day educating America about how we have law enforcement in this country and do it on the floor of the House just to show what a jackass that woman is, what a vile POS. And so, again, to back up to what I said about both sides, it is not both sides. It is the left, period. You want to fix this country? You want to heal America? You want to bring America together? Fine. Then fix the problem. Fix the cancer that is rotting away on the left that the Democrat Party has allowed to fester in their party. They've allowed these people in because they're so worried about losing power that they cater to these people in primary elections. And if the Republicans were doing this with neo-Nazis and white supremacists and all the other lies that were told about the GOP, I'd be saying the same damn thing. But here's the thing. We're not doing those things. No, they lied and said that. But you know what? The guy who's that white supremacist guy, the white Christian, he hates Donald Trump now. Nick Fuentes hates him because he's too pro-Israel. So, like, give me a break. You want to heal America? Then stop with this both sides crap. Speak honestly. Speak honestly. Speak truthfully. Truth matters. Truth for its own sake matters. So the first step in healing something, the first step in fixing a problem is to identify the problem. The problem is the Democrat Party let in lunatics. And Democrat officials, to win their seats and to keep their power, cater to those people to win primary elections. And these people have allowed hatred to fester in their ranks. And what they need to do is they need to expunge all of them out. And until they do, we can't have bipartisanship. We can't have Democrats and Republicans getting along because they have crazy, angry, hateful people in their midst, in their ranks. That's the truth. And as long as you have people who are elected officials calling people Nazis and the Gestapo and comparing cops to slave catchers, you will never have civility in this country. How could you? How could you expect to have civility in this country when you have people believing that the hardworking men and women, many of whom, by the way, are black, are just nothing more than slave catchers? Reject this both sides crap. I said it after Butler, and I'm going to say it again. Reject it. It's nonsense. I want to fix this country. I want to heal this country. I want everybody to get along. I want everybody to be peaceful. I want everybody to have passionate, very passionate political disagreements and debates. But I'm not going to sit here and lie and pretend and act like it's both sides in order to heal America so that we can get back to having passionate political debates, which is what this country was founded on. Expunge the hatred from the left. Get rid of those people. Kick them out of the party. Let them form their own third-party wacko group until the Democrat Party rejects those people and kicks them out. We will never have bipartisanship. We will never have cooperation, period. It's all a fantasy. And any Republican and any conservative who goes on TV and talks about both sides is only saying that hoping to get more airtime. And I refuse to do it. And if that means I get no more airtime, fine with me. I'm okay. I care a whole lot more about my country and saving my country so that I can start posting pictures of my children again one day than I do about getting airtime saying what people want to hear. Because it's politically correct to say both sides. It is not both sides. It is the left. There's a disease on the left. And you cure that disease by expunging them from the Democrat Party, because that's where they're given safe harbor. And until you do, we cannot fix this country, period. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not that I care, but why is this Christine woman not going to listen to the show anymore? Is it because I said that there are leftists who are causing the division in our country? Is she taking that personally? Is that why? Or am I missing something? What am I missing here? I just said if you're a Democrat, expunge them from your party so that we can get back to having passionate political disagreements. Democrat Party has given safe haven to crazy people. And until the Democrat Party cleanses them from their ranks, we're never going to have civility. We'll never have bipartisanship. What is offensive about that exactly? That would make this woman, not that I care, good riddance, but what would, she was questioning the arrest. The arrest of what? Arrest of what? Arrest of the guy who assassinated Charlie Kirk? I don't understand. What is there to question? I played you the clip of them announcing the arrest. What is her arrest? What is she alleging, that this was some sort of a patsy or something like that? That's on the YouTube chat, by the way. You can join. You should go on YouTube if for nothing else, because at 5 o'clock you're going to see Paula Scanlon and Raquel DeBono join us. Is that how I say her last name, Matt? Is it DeBono? Did I say it right?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay. Yeah. They're much more attractive than I am. It's totally worth watching YouTube just for that. No, seriously. Seriously. Like, to get a couple of hot 20-year-olds on the show, 100%. They're smart, and they have a lot to say, and probably even smarter than me and have more to say than me. But the fact that they're both hot, I mean, that's their whole thing, make America hot again. Like, I'm not... You know, I'm not going to be in trouble for saying that. They are hot. That's their whole thing. Am I right?
That's Raquel's catchphrase. That's what she's
famous. That's their whole thing. Make America hot again. So you should just watch, if nothing else, go on youtube.com/1210 at 1210 WPHD, and you can watch. So it was comments on YouTube is why she's not going to listen to the show. Well, tell her not to melt on her way out, because it's a little hot for a snowflake. So tell her to make sure she doesn't melt in the parking lot, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. People that say they're never going to listen again make me laugh. A, it's always a lie. It's always a lie. I am never listening. You just lost a listener. B, do they act like I only have like five? Like I'm going to like... I mean, believe me, I appreciate and value the Cioli Army very much. You feed my family. But when people come up to me at events and they meet me and they say hello and I thank them and it's genuine and sincere. But the ones who say that they're never going to listen again, I just, it makes me laugh. Do they think that's, am I supposed to get on my knees and beg or something? Do they think there's like 10 listeners? Well, now you only have 9 listeners left. If this show and the success of this show and my career hinged on you not listening ever again, we'd have a lot of trouble. We'd have big problems. We'd have really big, big problems. We probably wouldn't have any advertisers, and I probably would be doing something else right now, which I'm tempted to do anyway. But that's not my point. My point is, if it really hinges on, I'm not listening again. And I love that, too. I love the audacity of people who, the self-righteousness of them to make that point. You just lost a listener. You said something, or one of your supporters said something I don't like. You just lost a listener. All right. Bye. That's what it reminds me of, that scene in Tombstone. Well, bye. Justin, can you pull that up for me, please? You know what I'm talking about, right? I know DeSantis has no idea what the hell I'm talking about, but you do.
Yeah, I'll bring it up right now.
Well, bye. That was Johnny Ringo. Why, Johnny Ringo? What?
I don't know about the movie, but I like the impersonation nonetheless.
It's a good impersonation, right?
It wasn't made after 2000, right?
You know what I'm saying? If there's any advice I can give you in life, you're not going to take it anyway, but it would be that. It would be you should watch Tombstone. Who gave me the shirt? I'm your Huckleberry at Cape May. Now I can't remember that.
I don't know. I didn't see that one.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like someone just walked over your grave. All right, go ahead, Justin, play it.
It's a good impersonation.
Well, bye.
All right. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. Where was I? Yeah, Trump was on fire this morning. You said it was his best appearance, Matt, on Fox and Friends?
I think it was Trump at his very best.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good stuff. Here's him talking with, let's play cut number 4, the president on Fox and Friends. This is the big story of the day, of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, who has told me before that if I lose one listener, he will not advertise on the show anymore. Just kidding. He is so grateful for all the support you've shown him and given him, and his practice continues to grow because of you. Thank you for that. He's the best. He's the master of dental implants, the master of complicated dental work, and go see him today by going to VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. 2 locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VanariaDental.com. Oh, Joe Snow gave me the shirt. That's right, Joe Snow. Thank you, Joe. I forgot. Had a mind blank. Because Patrick, the owner of Elaine's in Cape May, also gave me a Tombstone regalia. I just wasn't sure which one was which. All right. This is Trump from Fox and Friends today. Cut 4.
Said to me, he's sort of like a son to you. Charlie got involved like 11 years ago, I think. He started, you know, he's a brilliant guy, but he didn't go to college. He actually started in college. He was so bored that he left. He would have done very well in college if he wanted to, but he was brilliant. I always said, you know, can you get a degree? Because you're sort of used to having people like you went to college, right? But he just didn't have the patience to do it. And he started this really during what would normally be college, maybe even sooner than that, but what would normally be college. And it's become a movement. And, you know, I won youth A Republican never wins youth, but I won youth. I will tell you, TikTok helped me, but he helped me with TikTok. Mm-hmm. But he helped me with youth. I've never seen a person who's, in this case, older than the people we're talking about, you know, in many cases. I've never seen young people or any group go to one person like they did to Charlie. Mm-hmm. He'd go out to Arizona, to any school, to Utah, where he, you know, where he was, but any school, also East Coast, anywhere. And he would have bigger rallies than any radical left speaker. And it was killing them because he'd have 5,000 people show up, 10,000 people show up. They'd go and they'd have 50 people, but they talk big league, right? Now, he was an unbelievable talent. But he was more, it wasn't really so much a talent. He just really believed it. He just believed it. He loved young people. He wanted to help young people. And he didn't deserve this. He was truly a good person.
Mm-hmm. Do you think?
Yeah, but how do we get, they're going to look into Soros. Oh, that'll be fun. They're going to look into George Soros, who I believe may have something to do with this company. I'm not quite sure. I got to read my emails. Cut number 6.
But, you know, they have professional agitators. Mm-hmm. They're professional. Okay. I had one the other night. I went into a restaurant, and this woman stood up. I looked at her immediately. She had money. She wasn't serious. They get paid for it. They're professional from Soros and other people. And we're going to look into Soros because I think it's a RICO case against him and other people. Because this is more than like protests. This is real agitation. This is riots on the street. And we're going to look into that.
Uh-oh. Ruh-roh. What did Chris Eppolito say in the YouTube chat? Oh, Christine tore up the IOU she wrote for me. This one's for a Lamborghini. You're going to want to hang on to that one. That's a shame. I was looking forward to getting that one. Trump, talking about revenge, and how do we get revenge? And we should get revenge. But this is how we get revenge. Cut number 7.
Is the message to the right, the people that are going to go, I want revenge, not to have revenge? Charlie Kirk would not want revenge.
You want revenge at the voter
box. That's where to go.
But unfortunately, we don't have so many ballot boxes because they have mail-in voting, which is totally rigged.
We get it at the ballot box. That's what we do. And I'm not worried about that, by the way. I'm not worried about our side committing violence because our side doesn't do that. Our side doesn't do that. We just don't. I mean, for years we were told that the biggest threat to America were all these white nationalist militia people hiding in the mountains. And it's a fugazi. It's a lie. It's why they had to have FBI basically stage a kidnapping plot against the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, because, you know, you might get some drunk guys after a day of fishing or hunting talking about this stuff, but they're not doing these things. And yet for years, the FBI told us and Joe Biden's Justice Department told us that the biggest threat to America was white supremacists. And we still have that, by the way. We still have them saying that. We have a whole montage, actually, of that. We got a lot of audio. We are loaded up today with audio. But Jasmine Crockett is still saying that the biggest threat to America are white nationalists. Let's see if I could find that one for you. Yes. Oh, and actually blaming Charlie Kirk's murder on white supremacy. This is cut 23. This woman is a nut. She really is. She's a friggin' nut. Cut 23.
I was like, so we're not going to talk about white supremacy? Like, we're not going to talk about the fact that the vast majority of these shootings, whether they are seen as political or not, mm-hmm. if we look at the numbers, white supremacy ideology. But we don't want to do anything about that. There's no legislation that they want to bring. Every time you say white supremacy, they want to yell, oh, you're race baiting. No, I am going on facts. Like these crimes, when we look at these mass shootings, most of them are linked to neo-Nazism or, you know, Proud Boys or whatever. It's always some white supremacy kind of thing that's going on. It's mm-hmm. not black folk that are going out there. It's not immigrants that are going out there. But what cities are we going into? Black cities, because we are supposedly the ones that commit all the crime. Which people are we going after? Immigrants, because allegedly it's immigrants. But we don't want to have a talk about what the numbers say, mm-hmm. what the facts say, which is that we have a white supremacy problem in this country. So until we decide to deal with the problem, we're going to continue to have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. None of it makes sense.
I don't understand. I don't understand. First of all, if white supremacists were really causing all these crimes, then wouldn't Jasmine Crockett be happy that the FBI and the feds are being called up and dispatched to these communities to keep black people safe? Again, it's more lies. It's more lies. It's more nonsense. It's more BS just being spewed. And, you know, I've lost all respect for Charlemagne the God. Because for him to sit there and let her just spew all that and spew the crap about slave chasers and everything else, and not push back on any of this stuff. Where are all these white supremacist shootings? Where are all these Proud Boys shootings? Where is all this stuff happening? Can somebody explain that to me, please? What am I missing here? I follow the news. Where's all this happening? It's beyond the pale is what it is of lies by the left. So many lies. All right. Our buddy Linda Kearns is going to join us. We're going to talk about the election and keeping it secure and a lawsuit that's been filed. And this is an important one. So we're going to talk about that at 4 o'clock. So we have Paula Scanlon joining us later and Raquel joining us. We've got Dr. Coates joining us. And it's going to be a good show. I have a montage. I got lots of montages. I want to play just before I go, though. I want to let's see if I can fit this in. D.L. Hughley, a celebrity, lying about Charlie Kirk. Lying about Charlie Kirk, the way Charlie Kirk died. This is a lie. Actually, you know what? I'll save that. I'll hold that. You're going to want to hear this, though. Oh, is it? All right, go ahead. 31. Thank you.
I certainly don't believe a young man 31 years old should have lost his life. But Charlie Kirk was a horrible human being. He said horribly incendiary things. As a matter of fact, he died. The very last words he spoke were basically putting the onus of gun violence on gangs, which is synonymous with black people. He blamed the very way he died was lying about black people with his last breath.
It's just beyond irresponsible to say that. Gang violence is a problem in this country. Democrats used to say so, too. That's why Bill Clinton, at one point, went after them when he was president, too. If those gang members happen to be black, we're not talking about black people. We're talking about keeping black people in those neighborhoods safe from the gangs. If gang members are black, they're terrorizing black people in neighborhoods. It's such a lie. It really is. These people are just – they're just gross. I have no respect for them whatsoever. Here's what you want to do. Mark your calendar for September 27th. It is the co-ed shooting event, men and women's sporting event at Bob's Little Sports Shop, Delsey Drive in Glassboro, New Jersey. And I would love for you to join them for this great event and to learn how to properly use a firearm, because that's what Bob's is all about. Proper firearm ownership. That's what you want to do at Bob's Little Sports Shop. Then they have great events you can do there, too. You can do bachelor parties and bachelorette parties. You can do corporate events there, too. The best part about Bob's Little Sports Shop is the people. Now, no alcohol or drugs permitted on premises, obviously. But what you will find is that Bob's Little Sports Shop has an incredible selection of firearms and great people who are there to make sure you are having an incredible experience. So go see them today in Glassboro, New Jersey, or go to BobsLittleSportsShop.com, BobsLittleSportsShop.com. You can have events for up to 30 people. You can have events for up to 10 people. Either way, Bob's will take great care of you and your team, and you can learn how to properly use a firearm. There's classes on firearm safety, on cleaning and storage, you name it. And September 27th, men and women co-ed shooting event at Bob's Little Sports Shop, BobsLittleSportsShop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.